Hello, everyone, and welcome to Vision and Voices, a podcast where ordinary people are doing extraordinary things in your community. Today, we are meeting with Ms. Catherine Ennis. Hello, hey. Catherine.
Hello.
And Ms. Ennis is a realtor, but she's also holds a Master's of Business Administration and is currently working on a Master's Real Estate Development.
Yep.
And what we're going to talk about today is moving from homelessness to housing. Of course, we always have kind of a social issues on this show, and we love to talk to people that are doing positive things around impacting the community's most vulnerable populations.
Yes,
so,
sir.
Catherine, tell us about yourself.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it. The opportunity to talk about housing is always something that I love to do. And I've been in real estate since 2001. Mm-hmm. So I fell in love with it as soon as I started doing it. And I was in Texas getting my undergraduate degree at University of Texas in San Antonio. So I never actually did anything with my undergrad because I was in real estate and I just started there and kind of went on. When the market collapsed in 07, my son politely decided to be born. So It's kind of hard to chase checks and commissions with a newborn, especially when the market doesn't dictate that you can. Right. So with that, I ended up going back into employment. Worked for J.P. Morgan for a little bit and did some workforce development. Worked under Mayor Bloomberg. And the company that I was with got awarded a contract down here in D.C. working with the TANF population. So that's people that are getting government assistance. D.C. had a really big push to get them back to work. So my job was to work with them, find open opportunities, do their resumes, help them with interviews, and get them into sustainable jobs. And so during that time is when I received my MBA. The market got better. My son got a little bit older. You know, I was never a work for someone type of person. So knowing that I knew how to do it, I went back into the business. That was in 2010-11. I've been back in. And so again, decided my goal has always been to build homes and build communities. And University of Maryland College Park is not that far from my house, and got into the program, and I'm praying in fall is when I finish. So,
well, that'll be exciting.
Yes.
We'll have you back on the show to talk about that whole process. But I want to ask you, in terms of real estate, I understand you also teach classes to first-time home buyers. How does that process work for a first-time home buyer? What are the steps you need to take? How much money do you need? How good does your credit need to be? Can a person these are a lot of questions.
Yeah,
so write them down.
No, I got them.
So can a person that is currently homeless become a homeowner, and how long does that take?
So the process itself, I like to break it down into 8 easy steps. And there really are 8 easy steps, and it's no math or science or PhD to the process of buying a home. Mm-hmm. The parts that go into it is what complicates things, and then personal emotions get in the way. So in essence, you go from a pre-approval, which is talking to a lender and them actually looking at your documents, your tax returns, your bank statements, your pay stubs, and making a sound decision on what your ratios are, which is how much debt to the income that you make that your household can afford. So there's just your housing income, and then there's your total expenses. So when a lender is looking at your finances, he's looking at how much home can you afford. So what is your mortgage payment going to be? Mm-hmm. And then they add in all of your bills. So if you have credit card bills, outstanding bills, whatever, then they add all that in. And that total debt can't be more than 43% to 48% of your total income. So that's number one. And then number two is just the steps in looking for a home, getting a home inspection to make sure that the home is a good fit. There's the HVAC is working, the electrical's working, you know, there's no water damages or anything like that. Then moving into an appraisal. So just to kind of clarify, the home inspection is paid in, and it's for the buyer. Mm-hmm. It has nothing to do with the seller, and it has nothing to do with the lender. It's for the buyer. That's their first chance to get out of the contract if the house is no good. That's their investment. The second step is the appraisal process, and that's the lender then going out, sending someone else to do the value of the house. They're lending based off of the value, not so much of the condition. So if there's any issues with that, then we can get out the contract. And then the third part is the title company. So the title is who goes through to check ownership of the house to make sure that from the inception of the house when it was built to when you're purchasing it, that there were no clouds on the title, no breaks in the ownership, and everybody that was legally able to sell it is able to sell it. Mm-hmm. And so those are the things that I cover in the class, you know, just kind of walking people through that. But for me, the most important part of doing those classes within the community, and they're all free, is to give information about down payment assistance and closing cost assistance.
So when is your next home buyers class?
Well, I do them once a quarter.
Okay.
So I do have them often. Our next class is going to be in May at 1600 Elton Road, which is TriStar Realty, May 23rd. But there is an Eventbrite link online that would say TriStar Realty or First Time Home Buyers class.
Is there a website or something that folks can go to?
www.tristar.com.
Okay.
And there's a calendar of events, and it should be on there.
So are there other groups that you work with, other nonprofit organizations or, you know, other groups that would help folks to kind of get mortgage ready?
Absolutely. So I work very, very closely with an organization called Home Free USA. Their mission and job is to educate the consumer and get them mortgage ready. We have people in our society that maintain their credit, they have good income, you know, longevity, stability. They don't need anybody's help. They mm-hmm. can go to the bank mm-hmm. and get whatever they want. There's other parts of our communities that need assistance. Mm-hmm. They don't know what they don't know. The resources aren't readily available for them, and so they need people to help them.
Right.
Not give them anything, but help them.
Right.
And so in regards to homeless to home ownership, that's the whole point of why we do this, because throughout Maryland, Howard County, Arundel, Moe, PG, they mm-hmm. all offer down payment and closing cost assistance programs to people to purchase. The state of Maryland, under the Maryland Mortgage Program, offers a variety of different programs, but they also offer down payment and closing cost assistance.
When you say closing cost assistance, what does that mean?
Basically, you have down payment that you have to put down to purchase the house.
Okay.
Usually, it's about 3.5% of the purchase price.
Okay.
So if it's $100,000, $3,500.
Right.
Sometimes you can put down more, 5% on a conventional loan. Sometimes you can put down less, depending on the program, because there have programs that are 100% no money out of pocket for down payment.
Okay.
All right. USDA, if you live out in one of like Charles County, St. Mary's, under USDA, which is the U.S. Department of Agriculture, they offer grants and programs as well for rural areas.
Gotcha.
So it really depends on where you're at and what you are trying to do.
So there are programs if you live in Baltimore City.
Absolutely.
In Washington, D.C.
Absolutely.
Very urban areas.
Absolutely.
There are also programs for very rural areas.
Absolutely.
For the suburbs, et cetera, everything in between.
Yep.
And they assist with down payments.
Correct.
So if you don't have the whole $3,500 to put down on a $100,000 house, and we're just saying that hypothetically,
yep.
we know
right.
a lot of homes cost more than that.
Absolutely.
But if you don't have that down payment, you can get assistance either by the state or some other source. Some
Your
other
local municipality.
Local municipality.
Absolutely.
Also, closing costs.
And then, so closing costs. So closing costs are your total cost to purchase the home, which would include the transfer taxes from transferring it from the seller to you yourself as the owner, recordation taxes, which Maryland would charge to record the deed and the title,
mm-hmm.
title charges for them to do the deal and do the search, lender's charges. So all those things combined is considered closing costs.
Hmm.
Closing costs on or about is 6% of the purchase price. So if you take 3.5% for your down payment and 6% for your closing costs, you're at 9.5% of whatever the purchase price is.
Right.
So again, if we're looking at hypothetical numbers for easy math, on a $100,000 purchase, that's $9,500.
Right.
So now,
and
like,
people should not be afraid of that
you
number.
You should not be afraid of that, because after I'm finished helping you with my lenders, you can literally get to the table with less than $1,000. And that's an absolute fact. Working with lenders that have the programs, working with Home Free USA, and then working with myself, I've gotten people, home health aides, mm-hmm. not nurses, on a purchasing district
type. Home health aide is kind of a an assistant.
That's an assistant. That's a $25,000-$30,000 you know, a year job. 3-bedroom townhouse with $1,400 to the table by the time we finish getting them the grants and down payment, as well as if you're with a good lender, a good realtor, they're going to work on your behalf with the seller. So where I said 6% is your total closing costs, your responsibility, you can also ask the seller to assist you in those closing costs.
Right.
And on or about, depending on the market, they can offer up to 3% of that cost. So they'll split the closing costs with you on top of paying their own closing costs.
Right. And then you still can get grants
and you still get all that help
from the city or the state.
Absolutely.
With that as well.
Absolutely.
Now, are there other groups like that throughout Maryland, throughout Virginia, throughout Washington, D.C.?
I can't speak to Virginia. It's too far away for me to even think about. But I can say that there are groups like that in Baltimore, Maryland, definitely, and D.C., yes. And D.C. has their own programs as well. So they have D.C. Open Doors. They have the Good Neighbor Program. So they have, everywhere has programs. And I'll just give you an example from the homelessness to home ownership. So like I mentioned earlier, I came down to D.C., from New York to work with the TANF population. And I've helped a lot of people get into, you know, sustainable and long-term jobs. And it was a young lady that I worked with. I got her a job at Grand Hyatt, and she's been there over 4 years now. And so she reached out to me last year that she wants to start looking for a home. And so I connected her with Home Free. So she goes to their counseling. She's getting all that, you know, her paperwork, her credit, everything together. She has the longevity from work, and she was in a shelter, and she was getting government assistance. And we're in the process of getting her pre-approved to be able to purchase a home for her and her kids.
So this is a real-life example
Absolutely.
Of exactly what we're talking about.
Absolutely.
Someone who was homeless, living in a shelter, you know, got employed, got other assistance, and a couple of years later is now looking to purchase a home.
Absolutely.
As we're talking about affordable housing, of course, Dr. Ben Carson visited Baltimore a few months ago and talked about the plight of Baltimore City. You being a realtor, I'm sure you're familiar with the abandoned buildings, the boarded up buildings. What is the disconnect for affordable housing and folks who are looking for housing? And then, you know, why aren't they filling these abandoned houses?
So I am very familiar in Baltimore. I do a lot of work in Baltimore, and I actually have a development company that we are going to be doing some redevelopment of those blighted properties in Baltimore. And I was having a conversation with the community association manager that runs the community association. We were talking about that yesterday. And I can tell you that I feel, and this is only a personal opinion, the disconnect in any place for affordable housing and non-affordable housing, it just goes down to greed. There's just nothing else outside of that. Housing is can be built, and it can be built affordable, and it could be sold affordable. But because land is so valuable and lack thereof, and everything is based around the city and mobility and being able to get, you know, here and there easily, that land is more valuable than the actual house that's built on it.
So it sounds like the key for someone who is low income or in a vulnerable situation is getting that education to understand how to purchase a piece of property or some land so that you can help increase your economic situation.
Absolutely. And the key to home ownership, and in regards to bridging that gap, again, a personal opinion, everybody wants to be in the hot neighborhood, right? Everybody wants to be in the Southwest, you know, the Wharf. Everybody wants to be in Fells Point, you know, Caton, Federal Hill. Everybody wants to be in Brooklyn, you know, Manhattan. Everybody wants the hot area, but then complain when they can't afford it.
Right.
That's your fault. You know that that's outside of your means, right?
Right.
But here's the thing, and I'll use Baltimore as an example. You have areas that are built up, and then you have areas that are blighted, and they're next to each other, and which is what we're doing as far as our concept. Why are we worrying about Federal Hill and Caton? Let's go to the neighborhood and the area that needs to be developed, redevelop, and provide affordable quality housing, and then you make that neighborhood what you want it to be, because that's what Fells Point did. That's what Federal Hill did. That's what Southeast did. right?
Right.
When I came here, I was working in Southeast right off of Barracks Row. I watched them build all of that.
Right.
And the people that used to live there are gone, right? Because when they want to change a neighborhood, they strategically do it, right? But if you are educated about it, then you can strategically develop a neighborhood and make that a pleasing place to be.
Right.
People on the lower half of the economic ladder, they spend equally, if not more than, people in the mid to higher income.
Right.
They use all of their discretionary cash for not only necessities, but even just the hope of getting something that they wanted.
So is that something that someone like Home Free USA can help with, that financial literacy? It sounds like that's what you're talking about.
Yes.
Helping people to understand how to save.
Exactly.
How to invest.
Exactly.
And of course, there are apps and things like that that you can do that on a very low scale. But how to save for your future toward purchasing a home.
Absolutely. So Home Free definitely can help you do that. And that's, again, what you don't know, you don't know.
Right.
So if you don't know how to save and every time you get $5, you're going to go out to buy something, you'll never understand the concept of saving.
Right.
Right. So if you are looking for home ownership, you don't need to save tens and tens of thousands of dollars, but you need to work on your credit, your obligations. So I do, outside of Home Free USA, and I do the first time real estate classes, I also teach financial literacy, but I teach them to kids, so ages 5 to 13. And then I've also taught it in Rockville to the Health and Human Services to their returning citizens. So it's out of the drug courts. Instead of going to jail, they have to go to court. And so we did a 4-week program to talk about financial literacy.
You're doing a ton of stuff, man. We have to take a break right now. But thank you.
Absolutely.
And when we come back, we're going to talk more about moving from homelessness to home ownership.
Absolutely.
This is James Wynn. You're listening to Vision and Voices, a podcast where ordinary people are doing extraordinary work in your community.
As a Christian church without walls, Volunteers of America Chesapeake is dedicated to serving the nation's most vulnerable. While we've been passionately living our calling for 122 years, we also know that many heads are better than one, that there is great strength in collaboration. For that reason, we invite you to a dynamic, participatory, spiritual colloquium where we collectively seek to bring hope to our community. We want to work with you to create solutions. On May 9th, 2018, from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., we will gather together at the Silver Spring Convention Center and spend a day with an expert facilitator who will help us work together to create vision, a path forward to realize those goals. Join us for what promises to be an uplifting, creative, engaging day. As we work together, God will do amazing things. For more information, please contact Crystal Baker Gill, 240-764-2632 or 2654.
Hi, I'm Dr. Maura Rossman, Health Officer for the Howard County Health Department. Immunizations are one of the best protections against serious diseases. Children between ages 11 and 19 are at especially high risk for catching or spreading illnesses that can be prevented by vaccines. Parents, if you have a teen or preteen, he or she may need several immunizations and without them could possibly be kept out of school. Call your child's doctor today to schedule an appointment. Thank you for keeping Howard County healthy.
Volunteers of America Chesapeake is pleased to extend an invitation for you to join us at our Voice of Faith Leadership Breakfast on May 16, 2018 at Martin's East, 9000 Pulaski Highway, Baltimore, Maryland. The breakfast will be held from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. We'll spend an hour of your time to provide background on the level of services that we provide our vulnerable communities, including what we're doing to serve the homeless veterans, returning citizens, families, and children, as well as the plans we have for affordable housing in the region. We hope you'll consider taking the time to attend. We would love to have you there. That's May 16, 2018, at Martin's East, 9000 Pulaski Highway, Baltimore, Maryland, from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. For more information, please contact Crystal Baker Gill, 240-764-2632, or 240-764-2654.
Welcome back to Vision and Voices, a podcast where ordinary people are doing extraordinary work in your neighborhood. I am James Wing, your host, and today we're with Miss Catherine Ennis.
Hello.
Of TriStar Realty. We're talking about homelessness, moving from homelessness to home ownership, and you were talking about before the break, financial literacy. What are the first steps?
So for me, I think the first steps is a desire to want the information, right? You can give anybody anything. Like they said, lead a horse to water, and it, you know, if they don't drink it, well, it's the same thing. You need to want to do better.
Mm-hmm.
You have to want it. And then when you want it, that desire attracts the information to you.
Right.
So with the case that I was just talking about with in Rockville with the returning citizens, with the drug court, they were there because they only had two options, either go to jail or take this class. And so at first, you know, they were resistant. But when we started giving them the information, I started, you know, kind of educating them and walking them through the process. So it was step one, class one, savings and budgeting. What does that mean? What does that look like?
So you really break down the definition.
Absolutely.
Of the words.
Absolutely. And then talk about that.
Okay.
Right? Then step two is credit. What is credit? How to get it? If you have blobbled it up, right? Then how to fix it? Because you can fix your credit.
And what if you have none?
Then you can establish it. And I talk about how to establish it as well. And easy, low risk ways to do it. So how to establish credit if you don't have any? So the best and easiest way is if you have a bank account, which, you know, that's also a challenge. But if you do have a bank account, you take a set of money.
So maybe that's just step one.
That is step one. Then if you're really serious about it, like if you're really serious about this process, you save, you know, if you can, $250, $500. You go to your bank and you say you want to establish a secured line of credit.
Mm-hmm.
So what that is your own money going into basically a credit card type account, and it goes on your credit report as a line item.
Ah.
All right. So that, let's just say it's $500 for, you know, easy understanding. So you put $500 in a secured line of credit. Then you want to go, they'll give you a card attached to that account. You go out, you utilize the card, but not utilizing it like, you know, champagne dreams on Saturday where you're balling out at the club. You're like putting gas in your car. You're like, you know, going grocery shopping. But if your limit is $500, you do not want to go over $250. Utilization, credit length, and the history are the three important things that the creditors and the credit reports look like.
Is utilization?
So utilization is exactly what I'm talking about. You have available credit of $500, but you're only utilizing 50% of that. So that's $250.
Okay.
Right? Then you utilize.
You have this checking account. You save up $500. You put it in there. And then you ask for a secured line of credit. You use this card, but you make sure it's not going above 50% of whatever you have.
Whatever that limit. And you can turn that $500 into a home.
Right.
If you strategically think
about
it.
But the key to that secured credit line is paying that back.
Absolutely. You
and
pay it back every month.
You're paying back yourself.
You're paying back your own funds.
Right.
And that's you. And that's really, so what's going to happen is A, you've established a line of credit. B, you're utilizing it, but you're not utilizing all of it. Then you turn around and you make monthly payments. So if the payment says $25, you pay $50, right? Because now you're paying your debt, your own money back, right? And then the length of that time, so 6 months to a year, now you have a trade line.
I got $500 in an account. I spend $250. I'm paying that back at $25, $50 a month. And my thought in my head right now is that that entire $50 is coming back into that account. Is there a fee that I'm paying the bank for management of those funds?
If you go to a credit union that doesn't have fees associated with their accounts, then you will not. Now, okay. If you go to certain big names, since I can't name them, you'll get charged a fee, $12 plus or minus. If you're below balance, so whatever their balance is, or if you don't have direct deposit, So those are things that they would charge you fees on, a big bank.
So there's education on that as well. So that's how you establish credit.
Exactly.
The next step in the financial literacy process.
So we do savings and budgeting, credit, how to build it, how to repair it.
Mm-hmm.
Then we talk about the home ownership process. What does that look like, the steps to go in there? Mm-hmm. And the reason why is because the last part is how to start a business, right? Mm-hmm. And people don't know that the equity from your home, you can pull it out to start a business. The reason why I mentioned this to people coming into this program from the drug court, and like I tell them, you were super creative every day when you were looking to buy drugs or when you were looking to sell drugs.
Mm-hmm.
You creatively thought of a way to make money or to sell the product every single day.
Mm-hmm.
You are creative enough to have a business. And guess what? You're coming out of a system that has you marked now with a number, and that number is going to follow you.
Right.
That number dictates the value that you are to an employer. So if you're an ex-offender, you're limited to $7, $10, $15 an hour because that's what they can do. Right?
Right.
But if you were creative enough to have a business, either A, as a drug dealer, or B, as a drug user, you have to know that your opportunities are limited. And if they're limited, then you get back into the space where things aren't working, and then you go back into your old lifestyle because that's what was working for you.
So it's really about changing the mindset.
Changing the mindset.
And when you said that, it really reminded me of the Robert Kiyosaki book, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and that we all, in the wealth quadrant, we all should be moving toward business owners and investors. And it's interesting that you teach that to folks who are in vulnerable situations and perhaps have never had any kind of credit or anything like that, or, as the technical term goes, blobbled it up.
Yep.
Is there anything else that you would like to say to folks?
So the first thing is that, like, you have to want it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's with anything. I 100% believe that. No matter what it is, if you want a change in your life, you have to want it. You can't talk about it. You can't think about it. Those things do nothing. When you want it, you put action behind it.
Right.
So the actions is seeking out the information. What we're talking about today, even if it's one person that hears it and makes the call to get more information, that's the one person that wanted the information. So in my classes, sometimes I have a room full of people, sometimes I have one or two. I'm okay with that because those one or two people are people that wanted the information.
Want the information.
And they got it, and then you act on it. So with the resources, there's plenty of people available to help you. There's plenty of resources. So again, I do my classes because I know people don't know about it.
The important part is to seek it out, right?
Absolutely.
So we've been talking with Ms. Catherine Ennis of TriStar Realty. You have a first-time home buyers class coming up again in May.
In May,
What is the website folks can go to?
And you can go on to www.tristar.com, and there'll be a calendar of events. And you should be able to see it there and register through online.
And also, Home Free USA is a group that you work with.
Absolutely.
And they do...
They're a national housing counseling agency. Mm-hmm. And so, again, this Home Free USA, they have several locations, one in D.C. There's one in Maryland, 6200 Baltimore Avenue in Riverdale Park. And they also have an office in Baltimore on Washington Boulevard right next to in Pigtown, right next to a wonderful restaurant called Breaking Bread.
Right.
And so that's at 771 Washington Boulevard.
So if folks can't get to those locations or don't remember the names, they can always just Google home counseling classes, first time home buyer classes, and that could take you to wherever you are in the world to your local agency that will help you understand financial literacy and how to buy a home. Thank you very much, Catherine. This is James Nguyen. You've been listening to Vision and Voices, a podcast where ordinary people are doing extraordinary work in your neighborhood. If you can, please go on, listen to us on Dragon Radio and make comments as well. We're on Facebook and Twitter. Please check us out.